Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank God it's...
Yeah! We made it, people! We did it! We got here! It's Friday! Gotta get down on Friday! Welcome in, my dudes and dudettes, my amigos and amigettes. Spectacular to have you as we go into our Friday football fiesta. Good to have you. It's not undeserved. It's not undeserved.
I kind of warned you. I kind of did.
So for those of you who did not check out the stream yesterday, I committed this week because the wife's out of town for a week. And your boy is going through an admitted and acknowledged and unashamed what I am labeling like a bit of an identity crisis. I don't think crisis is the right word, because I think that word comes with some pretty strong connotations that something is wrong with me. And there's not. Nothing's wrong with me. I think I think I just got bored. And so for like the past couple of weeks, I've just been like trying new stuff. All right? Nothing dramatic. That's the nice thing about having a relatively privileged life, is I don't have to change anything dramatic to feel like I'm trying new stuff. I bought some new, some new clothes that I wouldn't have worn in years gone by, just to see how it works. I'm a necklace chain guy now, and a big fan of it. In fact, I got another one coming. I got to shorten this one up a little. Got a little long. I cleaned the motorcycle up so that I can start making that, like, the motorcycle is going to go back to being my primary mode of transportation. And so,
buy one of those half helmet things.
No, okay. No, full face right. mask. Because at the end of the day, while I have an identity crisis, I would like to keep my face and head attached and intact. So, I said last week that since the wife was going to be gone for over a week, and since I've dropped quite a number of LBs, I was like, I'm gonna go clean shaven. I haven't seen my chin in 8 years. But the thing was, the reason I kept the beard for that long was so that I didn't have to see my chins up. And so I thought, all right, I've dropped like 60 pounds from the heaviest. Let me see, right? Now, at the end of the day, it's a little genetic, but like still, let me see if I can go back to having the clean cut.
I was going to say, I'm not being mean, but it's still...
It's still there. Yeah, it's never going to not be there.
The only way you could find out is by checking, and now
but it's,
you know.
And it's, trust me, it's dramatically less dramatic that than is, it used to be.
That is, you got to go have work done to probably get rid of.
But I wanted to see, is it like... Is it acceptable?
You're not about to get work done, are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not, I just can't afford that. So I went to go clean shave on Wednesday after she left. I don't even think I really ever addressed this on the show yesterday. I just kind of let it be. So I shaved.
Well, because I got taken away and a lot of things would have been addressed yesterday.
That's probably fair. So
they robbed me of that.
The wife left, I went to go clean shaven, and when I got the chin and the cheeks done, I left the stash, and the goal was I was going to take a dumb picture of it and send it to her while she's on her bachelorette party and be like, have a great time. This is what I look like now. And then I was going to shave the mustache off. And by the time that I got done and I got down to just the stash, I looked in the bathroom mirror and I was like, meh. I don't love it, but I don't hate it. I don't love it, but I don't hate it like I thought I would.
I just want to point out, you're close to Fu Manchu. I mean, you put a little bit more on either side you got the Fu Man going.
I rounded it off at the corners.
You're like, that's not the corners. I mean, you go a little bit higher than that. I mean, you could be Jack Lambert right now.
So I decided to...
Some of you know who that is.
Linebacker Steelers. We got football knowers on the rubber.
I know. That's who I wasn't talking about.
So I decided, as I was taking a gander in the mirror, I was like, you know what? I don't know if I like it, and I don't know if I hate it, and I'm going to test drive it for a couple of days. I'm on a test drive right now.
So you're about to change the logo or not?
I don't know yet. I'm not committed to it yet. I'm not committed to it yet. Like I'm on a test drive. I walked around the building yesterday specifically just to get reactions from people in the building. It was about 60-30. And about 10% to different individuals at different times saying some variation of, dude, are you in the Epstein files? Like, that's a joke I got.
I shouldn't laugh about that, but yeah.
More often than I'm comfortable with yesterday. Then yesterday afternoon, I went to lunch with a couple of buddies. Split reaction. Then yesterday, late afternoon.
You didn't wear like a hat, like... Close over your eyes or anything like that.
So nope, I'm just letting the world see me as I am.
Well, I meant you would look creepy that way.
I went and played a round of golf with Joey B. Joey B was like, every 10 minutes the opinion flipped. It was initially like, hey, it's not bad. And then like two holes later, he'd be like, nah, it's kind of bad. And then it was back and forth.
All right, I'm just curious, was there imbibing going on?
Yeah, I was golfing, of course.
No, I meant with him. Did that affect his opinion every two holes?
No, not at all. It's just split reaction. So here's what I need. And I'm not even kidding about this. Like, this isn't a ploy. I'm being very serious because, there was one more quick story from it. The Wednesday night when I decided, you know what, I'm going to test drive this thing through the weekend and see if I like it. If I don't, you know, once the stubble comes out, I'll cut the stash down to match the stubble. We'll grow the whole thing back up. I FaceTime the wife to show her like, hey, I'm going to keep this for at least a week and see how we like it. She picks up the FaceTime and she opens it and she sees me. And the conversation went like this. Bloop-a-doop. That's her answering the phone. Bloop-a-doop. Absolutely not.
I was hoping she hung up because that would have been great.
No, she said at first words, absolutely not. And I said, you know what? I thought the same thing, but after 2, 3, 4 minutes, it grew on me. Like, look at me for a minute and see. And she goes, I don't need to. No. And I said, all right, you know what? That's fair. However, you're at a bachelorette party. There's like 6 other girls there. I'm going to need you to turn this camera around, show me to them, and let's get the opinion of the room. And of the 6, I got 3. Actually, it kind of works for you. You look younger. And I got 2. Rob, you know I love you. But no, that's not your vibe. And I got 1. And like, that was the only sound I got out of that. It has been legitimately like a 50-50 split as to whether or not I keep the vibe.
The ones who approved it, are they known for sarcasm?
No, not at all.
Like, okay, I'm just curious.
The one thing about my wife is that she is the type of wife that you will never have to... You've worked with her.
Right.
That's why
I'm asking this question. If they knew it would be a dig to her by approving
it.
Okay,
they are. All right. She is in a group of girlfriends who you will never have to guess where you are with them. Like, you will never have to guess how they feel. They are that group of women that they're going to bleeping let you know how they feel when they feel it. They are not going to lie to appease or to mess with her. In fact, two of the first three we talked to were two of them that were like, Courtney, you need to settle down. Like, it looks pretty good on them. pretty split reaction. So here's, this is a genuine favor that I need from you. And I need you all to know, my ego can take the hit, okay? My ego can take the hit. I'm good, I'm prepared, I'm ready. I need you to join the live stream. I need you to come to the live stream. I need you to put it on the biggest screen that you have.
Are we roasting? Are we roasting? Is that what we're doing?
No. Here's what I need. I need you to go to the live stream, facebook.com/thefanupstate, the Fan Upstate on Twitter or on YouTube, the Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, or on Twitch. Whatever broadcasting outlet you want to go to. I would like you to go to the stream. I would like you to blow the stream up to full screen, and I genuinely need the feedback here, because I'm test driving. I'm not committed, but I'm not uncommitted. I haven't decided where I've landed yet. Now, all of this started because it is Friday, and Rob Brown broke out, as he is wont to do on Fridays, broke out his Fun Friday shirt, all right? Went with the classic Andy Reid Hawaiian shirt. Went with my classic I'm going drinking rum on the beach after this shirt. And when Zoe walked in today, he like stopped, kind of backtracked and looked in the door and was like, with the stash, you look like a crappy Magnum P.I. All right, he didn't say crappy Magnum P.I., but he meant crappy Magnum P.I. And
well,
I respect it.
There's only one Magnum P.I. I mean, you know.
I got told yesterday, in the list of you look likes that I got you look like, and I forget the actor's name, but the guy who played Goose's son in the newest Top Gun.
Oh, that guy you don't like.
Yes. Yeah. Which was meant as a compliment to me. Miles Teller.
Yeah, that's
Miles Teller. I got one yesterday. You look like an older Miles Teller, and that was meant as a compliment, but I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't get why that guy's considered attractive, but that's okay.
I don't have these skills, but if I did, I would put a side-by-side with you and Weird Al in a Hawaiian shirt with his mustache. All you'd be missing is the hair because of the glasses and everything. Listen, in my mind, it looks similar. I'm going to look it up. It may not look anything like it.
Chris Lewis, and I am naming and shaming on this one, Chris. Chris Lewis just texted and said, are you sure Courtney's on a bachelorette trip and not tied to railroad tracks somewhere? I can't twist it, Chris. Yeah. It's not that.
Oh, you could if you tried. You definitely could.
All right. So I need you, and I'm not, this isn't a gimmick. This isn't a shtick. I am going for the opinion right now. Trash it or stash it. That's what we're going with today. Trash it or stash it, because I'm not committed. I think it's fine. I don't think it's good. I think it's bad. I think it's fine. It's kind of one of those performances where, like, you know, it's the facial hair version of 25 for 45, 250, and one touchdown. Okay, that's fine. It's not a great day, but it's not a bad day. It's not the reason you won the game, but you didn't lose because of that performance. It's fine. It's shooting two under in a Masters. Like, it's fine. It's not going to win you the tournament, but you're not going to be cut. It's fine. That's where I'm at. The wife despises it. Yesterday, pretty 50-50 split about approval or not on whether we trash it or stash it. Go to the live stream. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, The Fan Upstate. YouTube, Facebook, or Twitch, The Rob Brown Show. Blow it up to full screen. You don't have to stay the whole time. You should, but you don't have to stay the whole time. Pop in, drop in the chat, go or no go, stash it or trash it, and let me know if we roll with it or not. Jersey Joe said, nothing's wrong with you? Seriously? Yeah, you know what I meant, Joe. You know what I meant. Let's see. Zach says, Rob Brown, I dig it, dude. It's got my vote. Patrick said, Magnum P. Brown. That might be it for the day. Might be the Magnum P. Brown Show today. We'll see how it goes. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Friday.
Thank God it's...
Nope, that was not good. That was not good. We're struggling today, all right? It is Friday. It is our Friday football fiesta today. Of course, we've got the entire weekend to get to. We've got some big news. Lenora Sellers upgraded it to probable for the game this Saturday on the road at Missouri. We'll talk about that. Speaking of upgraded to probable, Can I tell you one thing I'm actually really interested in? I am really interested in Cade Klubnik getting Antonio Williams back because he has been upgraded to probable for this weekend's game against Syracuse. I am interested because over the weekend, and I'll get to these numbers in a little while, after the loss to Tech 6 days ago, there was a gentleman that I follow on Twitter. He's kind of a deep dive stats nerd, which is why I follow him. And he went and he pulled Cade Klubnik's statistics in games where he does and does not have Antonio Williams available as his number one wide receiver. And while the does not have is not a huge sample size, there is a dramatic drop in statistical efficiency from Cade Klubnik when Antonio Williams does and does not play. And so my question is going to be, with Antonio Williams back on the football field tomorrow against the Syracuse Orange, if we see Cade Klubnik look like a dude tomorrow, if Antonio Williams pops off, and he's obviously going to be rested up. He was dealing with a hamstring injury that he sustained all the way back in week one against LSU. He missed the Troy game. He missed the Tech game. He is back this weekend against Cuse. If Antonio Williams has Cade Klubnik looking like a dude, like the dude that we all expected him to look like coming into the season, what is the attitudinal shift around the Clemson Tigers after that? If he shows up and all of a sudden Cade Williams is going off for 375 and four tutties against Cuse, it looks like the offense that the soothsayers told us about.
Cade Klubnik?
Yes.
You said Cade Williams.
Oh, sorry. Cade Klubnik throwing to Antonio Williams. If they look like dudes, if this offense is suddenly just clicking down the stretch, what does that do for the Clemson football team? What does that do for the football team? What does that do for the attitude? What does that do for Clemson as a squad? I think it's a fair question. I think it's one that we very well may have to answer. But I also think the other side of that coin is available too. What happens if Antonio Williams is back and the Clemson offense struggles again? What happens if Antonio Williams is back? Your numero uno wide receiver is back on the football field for the first time since the LSU game, and Clemson still looks questionable on offense. What does that say? What does that do? What does that mean? What does it say if they can't establish a connection? Or do we say, just like we would have in week one, if the offense isn't clicking in week one, what do we say? Give it a week. Give it a week. You've got some game action. You got some XP. Give it a week. If they don't click, do we give it a week? Do we start looking ahead to next week and say, all right, they've had some time. They've got, where are you, Clemson fans? What is your concern for the weekend? What do you want to learn from the weekend? I asked this question yesterday about South Carolina. I will ask it of you. Coming up on the show today, on the Friday Football Fiesta, we take a look up and down the college and NFL schedule. We'll give you some picks, previews, predictions, and thoughts. Rashad Beard will join us at 8:40 a.m. We'll talk about the Carolina Panthers as they try to avoid an 0-3 start this weekend. At 9 o'clock, straight up, the boys from the Movin' the Chains podcast will join us. We'll get you set up for all of the Friday Night Lights action taking place around the upstate, all of that and more as we roll on. The Rob Brown Show is live here on the Fan Upstate. Let's go.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Talking football here on a Friday, the Friday Football Fiesta on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. So we've got a gaggle of players that are returning to the Clemson Tigers this weekend. Khalil Barnes is going to be back, amongst others. But I think the one that will likely make the biggest difference is going to be Antonio Williams. Antonio Williams is on his way back this weekend. He is listed as of yesterday as probable for the Tigers. And from what I understand, has been full go in practice after the hamstring injury sustained during the LSU game back in week number one. So we talked a little bit about what the numbers have been for Cade Klubnik. Earlier in the week, we talked about it against Power 4 teams and against ranked teams. We talked about the fact that the touchdown to interception ratio against teams that enter games against Clemson ranked real bad, real bad. And so one of the discussions that we have had, is Cade Klubnik and his need for guys, and I don't think that this is a hot take anymore, his need for guys to make plays around him for him. Running backs to bail him out and be available on the outside. Wide receivers to make plays on his behalf, et cetera, et cetera. This is somewhat interesting. Games that Cade Klubnik has played with Antonio Williams and has played without Antonio Williams. Klubnik and Williams have started 21 games together. In those 21 games, Cade Klubnik has 47 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. In those 21 games, Clemson averaging 34.2 points per game. Without Antonio Williams, 11 games. So it is, again, it's a smaller sample size, but 11 games. 12 touchdowns to 8 interceptions and 24.3 points per game. Now, it is unsurprising that when you lose your best wide receiver, your offense takes a step back. That is going to be the same for any team at any level of football across America, especially when you are a passing team. But the drop off there from 34 points a game down to 24 points a game is huge. 34 points a game, you lose 10 points per game with Antonio Williams not on the football field. Now, in fairness, and this is on me, I need to go back and do a better job at contextualizing the games that were missed, because if you have Antonio Williams for NC State and Wake Forest, and then you don't have him for Texas and LSU, that's a pretty big disparity. But I also think a 10-point drop, even if that is the case, is pretty significant. I also think the touchdown to interception ratio is pretty significant. You are looking at a touchdown to interception ratio with Antonio Williams of 47-12. I'm bad at math. That's sitting somewhere around what? Almost 5-1? But without Williams, that number drops to like 1.2-1 touchdown to interception ratio. If you had a quarterback at the end of the year who had a 1-1 touchdown to interception ratio, that would be bad. That's my hot football take. That would be bad. So with that being said, what do we need to see to reignite a little confidence in Clemson fans now that Antonio Williams is back against Syracuse? I told a Clemson buddy of mine yesterday, I need this to be a bloodbath for Clemson to spark that confidence again. I need this to be a merciless beating of the Syracuse Orange. I like the direction that Syracuse is heading in. I like Fran Brown, their new HC, quite a bit. I got a chance to have a very short conversation with him at ACC Media Days. One of the first things I look for when I am thinking, when I'm talking about coaches, when I'm evaluating coaches, one of the first things I look for is this dude a football dude, right? Like, I don't think, and I think we can go through the list of coaches that are and are not successful. I do not think you can be a successful college football coach in 2025 without having two traits. I think the first trait is you've got to be a football dude. Like, you've got to love the game of football. And I'm not just talking about like we love the game of football where we're watching 14 hours of it on Saturdays. There's a meme going around about Nick Saban right now for those Saban film room clips that he does on game day, where Saban gets in front of the big telestrator and he starts talking about the game and he's like, all right, they're working on a zero dog with a drop back cover two and a fire blitz. No. Bunch of football stuff, right? And then the meme goes that Reese or whoever is doing that segment with him will be like, all right, coach, let's explain that for people in a way that might be a little easier to understand. And Nick will point to the board and be like, it's a zero dog with a disguised cover two into a, you know what I mean? Like, he's a football guy. He's like, if you can't talk the language with me, there's no point in me having a conversation with you. This is part of the reason why I have been, for the past 2 years, very high on both Clark Lee and Brent Key, because they're football dudes. And the second thing that I think you have to have, and there's no one way that is the right way or the wrong way to make this happen, I think you've got to find a way to make your players love you, right? And that's organic. You can't try too hard, man. Like, they just have to love you. And I think Clark Lee and Brent Key both have that trait. I think I see those two traits in Fran Brown as well. I liked Dino Babers. He was always very kind, but he wasn't like I don't think he was like a football dude. And I think Dino was a guy that players loved him when they were having success early in his time at Cuse, not so much towards the end. But he's kind of one of those guys. We talked about this with Mike McDaniel down in Miami. I love Mike. I hope Mike sticks around forever. But the problem is, I think Mike's lost the locker room, and I don't think he can get it back. And that's why he's not going to make it through the rest of the season with Miami. Fran Brown is not just a football dude, but on Syracuse Day at ACC Media Days in Charlotte this year, on Syracuse Day when I was there and he was interacting with his players, like, it was very genuine. I think he's one of those guys. So Syracuse is not a great team on paper. Like, they got a good quarterback. They got some talent on the edge, but they're not a great team. This is not a team that Clemson should in any way, shape, or form find themselves in a game in. But you know what they are? They are very much like Clark Lee and Brent Key's first couple of teams at Vandy and Georgia Tech, respectively. You can look on paper and see they're not the most talented team. They're not even close to the most talented team you're going to play. But they are a team that is going to play very disciplined football. And they are a team that is going to punch and punch and punch and punch and punch. You might put them down 21. And they're still going to throw haymakers because that's the attitude that they have instilled in them. Even with all of that being said, I think you need to go out and you need to win this game by 35. This needs to be a decisive game. And it needs to be a game that the result is never in question, right? Like the only acceptable outcome for me here, for us not to come back on Monday and say, all right, Clemson fans, now you are in trouble. If you go out and win this game by three, right, this is going to be one of those spots where you go out and win that game by three, Dabo Sweeney's going to go to the mic and he's going to take a couple of questions criticizing the play and he's going to go, we won the game. What do you want? We won the game. Why do we have to be so critical? We won the game. Yeah, but that's not good enough. That's not good enough when I've got FSU hanging 70 burgers down in Tallahassee. That's not good enough when SMU is now fighting for their life. And most importantly of all, that's not good enough when Georgia Tech now has the lead and the tiebreaker over you. Remember, finishing with the same conference record as Georgia Tech does not send you to the ACC title game. They have the tiebreaker. So now you have to do that much better than them to grab that berth. I need decimation, humiliation of Syracuse by Clemson this weekend. Anything less, I will probably come in here on Monday and go, I don't think the national championship aspirations are alive. Will Antonio Williams be that spark this weekend? Clemson fans looking for your answer. 844-326-3663. 844-FANFO. When he texts it, call it. Let's talk some ball on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Got some big news coming out from the ACC and the SEC. Scheduling stories. Yeah! That's what the people want on a Friday morning. Well, it's what the people are going to get on a Friday morning. How's that? We got scheduling news out of both the Atlantic Coast and Southeastern conferences. Let us start with the ACC, as that, I think, is the, for now, more impactful news. The Atlantic Coast Conference is working on and will approve, according to reports, a demand that conference members moving forward must play 10 games annually against Power 4 level opponents. 10 of your 12 must come against Power level conferences. Now, what is interesting is that the ACC has yet to commit to playing a 9-game conference regular season slate. They have not committed to playing a 9-game regular season slate. They are going to be meeting in Charlotte next week, the athletic directors of the conference, to have two discussions. Number one, do we move to a 9-game regular season conference slate? And number two, if we do not do that, what does the model look like? The thought right now is that the ACC has two options on the board. Option number one is to, as the Big Ten and Southeastern Conference has done, move to a 9-game conference slate. Option number two is to adopt an 8+2 model. Just like now, you will play 8 conference games annually, and then you must add 2 Power 4 opponents from other sides. The conversation that is going to take place, at least as far as I can understand it, is effectively a few of the schools, much as happened in the SEC, a few of the schools, specifically those that have major out-of-conference power rivals. That is Georgia Tech playing Georgia annually. That is Clemson playing South Carolina annually. That is Florida State playing Florida annually. It appears that at least some of those schools are requesting to stay at 8 conference games, specifically because they believe that they should have the opportunity to have that 9th power game be a game like Clemson, South Carolina, Florida State, Florida, Georgia Tech, Georgia. Is that going to change anything? I don't know. I don't know, honestly, what the ACC's attitude is towards having that extra conference game. I don't know what the attitude is because, and this is the part that I think I repeat every time we have one of these business decisions that comes up. I don't know what the ACC's attitude is towards the television stuff, right? I know that the Big Ten and the Southeastern Conference, for all of the perfectly fine football reasons that they gave, that they wanted a 9-game slate, the real reason that they wanted a 9-game slate was inventory. It's more games. It's more games that you can sell. It's more games you own the rights to. It's more games if you're the Big Ten that Fox has exclusive rights to that matter. If you're the SEC, that ESPN has the exclusive rights to. They can give us all of the thoughts that they want. But at the end of the day, the question mark is going to be, is it beneficial? Is it beneficial for the ACC to move to a 9-game slate? Is that content going to get them paid more? If the answer is yes, then this will happen. But there is one more very interesting reality that has to be dealt with here. The ACC has 17 football-playing members.
Nuh-uh.
Uh-huh. Which means that, mathematically speaking, there's no way for all schools to play 9 conference games. Can't happen.
They're colleges, right? So they know that.
You would think so.
They're supposed to be smart.
You would think so. Now, the obvious implication of this is that one of two things have to happen. Either A, someone must be asked to leave the conference, or B, someone must be asked to join the conference, or option C. And I think this might be the most interesting option of all. Notre Dame is in kind of a nightmare situation right now. Notre Dame is in a nightmare situation in that they are 0-2. Now, they are still, because reasons, ranked inside the AP Top 25 at 0-2, ahead of a 3-0 USC team, but we'll come back to that later. Or we won't, I don't know. But they are 0-2. Which means that Notre Dame must be perfect the rest of the ride to get to 10-2 and make sure that they are in. If they are not perfect and they go 9-3, I don't think that they have the SOS, even with the enhanced metrics, to jump in as a 9-3 team. Now, what they do have, obviously, is, as we have mentioned 1,000 times, the brownie points of just being a brand, right? We talk about brand points every year. I firmly believe that there are some teams that are positioned better or worse based on the brand, because America likes watching the brands. Bama.
And that's earned over time, though. It's not like people, you know what? I like the color of those jerseys, so that's our team now. No, these teams have earned that over time because they've been so good for decades.
I don't disagree. But I also will roll with the opinion that we are supposed to enjoy football as the great equalizer. When kickoff happens, what logo's on the side of your helmet doesn't matter. What color your jersey is doesn't matter. What stadium and how many people it holds doesn't matter. From kickoff to the final whistle, All 22 dudes on the field on any given snap must play by the same rules of the game and have the same chance to win. And I would like to think that that would expand to the opportunity to garner a playoff invite. Do you think if we have a 10-2 Notre Dame and a 10-2 Big 12 team, that they're not going to find a gosh darn way to get Notre Dame in because it's a brand, it's a powerhouse brand, it's a huge brand? To me, the answer is yes. I will always circle back to Florida State didn't get left out of the playoffs at 13-0 and ACC champs because of Jordan Travis. They got left out because the committee said we cannot have a playoff that does not feature a Southeastern Conference team. And that Southeastern Conference team with Alabama sneaking in. That is a conspiracy theory in sports that I don't think anyone will ever get me to back off of. So here's your solution. There's three on the table. Number one, you kick someone out of the ACC. I do not see that happening. Number two, you invite somebody into the ACC who would be willing to become a full-fledged member. My question mark is, who's that? Is that Tulane? Is that somebody? Or option number three. The third option I think you work with here is you make Notre Dame games count as being conference games. And even if Notre Dame doesn't become a full member of the conference, even if you allow Notre Dame to keep their television deal in place with NBC, and you say, look, we want you to play within the ACC. We want to give you an ACC schedule. You don't have to become a member. You can keep your NBC contract for your home games. You'll play on ABC when you're on the road, just like you would any other game. You'll play on ABC when you're on the road at an ACC team. But you become a member that's not a member, an honorary member, if you will. You keep your NBC contract. We get to broadcast you when you play ACC games. And in return for doing so, we'll make you eligible for the ACC championship game, even if you're not in the conference. Because what does that garner Notre Dame? You keep your NBC contract. Why doesn't Notre Dame join a conference, Rob? Because NBC pays them the same that they would get paid if they were a member of the Big Ten or the SEC. They get the same amount of money, and they don't have to share it with anybody else. It's all theirs. They are the dragon sitting inside the mountain on a hoard of gold. They don't have to share it with anybody. So the problem is, to go back to where I started with the Notre Dame conversation, they're 0-2. A conference championship eligibility would be wildly beneficial for Notre Dame right now, knowing that they would be eligible for a conference championship down the line would be a big sigh of relief for the Irish, because they get that NBC contract, they get that pile of gold under the mountain. What they don't get is the advantage of knowing a conference championship is an auto bid into the playoffs. So what if you are the ACC and you say, here's what we'd like to do. We would like to make you an honorary member. We would like to have you play an ACC schedule. You can utilize your other games to keep your rivalries with Navy and your rivalry with USC alive. Then you have your one cupcake slot available if you want it. But you play an ACC schedule and you play USC and Navy. You got your one cupcake spot. And if you do this, you can keep your NBC contract. You give us the ability for everybody to play a 9-game schedule, because you've got to have one more team to do so. And we will, in return, not just let you keep your NBC money, but we will make you eligible for the ACC championship at the end of the year. You can be a not ACC member, but still win the ACC championship, and therefore have the right to go to the college football playoffs. The only thing that team is going to fight back against at that point, I think, would be, all right, but if we go to the playoff as ACC champ, who keeps the money? Does Notre Dame have to split that money with the conference? I think if I'm Notre Dame, a ticket to bowl eligibility via conference championship game, I think would be worth it to split my playoff money with the ACC. Because if we have a year like we have this year, and we end up starting 0-2 and we don't make it into the college football playoffs, there's no money to be split. right? If Notre Dame misses the playoffs, they're not getting that $20-plus million or whatever it is that teams that make the playoffs get. But they get their NBC money, which is a dumb amount of money, and if they go to the playoffs, they get their share, and in return, they got to split the rest of it with the ACC, but you have the ability to make the playoff via ACC title game. I think it's beneficial for everybody. The ACC gets their nine-game slate.
I don't get the benefit for ACC. I get the nine-game thing. I understand that part. But Notre Dame's never going to go for that. I don't think the ACC will offer that. Will they?
Why would they? So here's my reasons why they would. Number one, you get your nine-game schedule. You get to play the same nine-game schedule the SEC, the Big Ten play. Take something off the plate where if you get to the end of the year and you only played eight, and even if you play power outside, you get to the end of the year and the committee goes, well, yeah, your ACC team, you're right there in the mix, but you only played eight conference games in South Carolina played nine. So they get the benefit of the doubt. Number two, by having Notre Dame playing as a conference member, even if they are not one, strength of schedule across the conference goes up. That's a good football team. And I don't think Marcus Freeman's going to let him be a bad football team.
Well, not this year, they're not.
They're 0-2.
Yeah.
But I also think, and I'm not making the argument they should be ranked, they should not be ranked, but they are 0-2 with two top 25 losses on the road and at the crib.
Yeah, 0-2 in college football is
it's not
bad.
Ideal.
Yeah.
No, it's actually the worst that you can be through two games. I don't think Notre Dame's finishing any worse than 10-2. It'll be a 10-2 football team at the end of the year. I don't think they lose another regular season game. Who do they lose to? The only team ahead, the only team on the schedule remaining that I think Notre Dame might lose to would be USC. And aren't we all kind of waiting for the annual Garrett Riley or Lincoln Riley drop? I think so. So if you're Notre Dame, your strength of schedule annually goes up. The ACC's strength of schedule annually goes up. You get to keep your NBC money. You also get eligibility to a conference championship game. Meanwhile, the ACC gets their 10-game slate, and the conference's look goes up in terms of strength as a whole. I honestly don't see a drawback to not doing this. We'll talk more about it coming up later on in the show. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I was going to say the Notre Dame of sports flashes, but he'd probably take that as an insult. So I'll just say the king of sports flashes, Lonzo.
Yeah, don't be doing that while I'm wearing a Buckeyes jersey. What'd they do to Notre Dame last year? The Buffalo Bills remain undefeated.
I believe in you.
After a 31-21 win over the Dolphins last night, Josh Allen finished 22 of 28 for 213 yards and three touchdown passes, and James Cook rushed for 108 yards and a touchdown on 19 carries. South Carolina quarterback Lenore Sellers has been upgraded to probable for this weekend's matchup against Missouri. Reports out of Columbia are that Sellers has participated in practice, though his level of involvement hasn't been revealed. Clemson wide receiver Antonio Williams is listed as possible and probable for this Saturday's matchup against Syracuse. Williams injured his hamstring in the week one matchup against LSU and has been unavailable since starting left tackle Tristan Lay and safety Khalil Barnes are also listed as probable.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.